Well, last week, we're getting to the end of the parsha, as we said, and then this week I said, oh, I'm going to finish the parsha, start the next, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see. Because then, of course, as I start preparing, then more and more and more gets uncovered. But anyways, we'll see. We'll learn. That's the main thing, is we'll learn. And as we saw last week, we were talking after Hashem has already given the Torah. These are the psukim that are written after. But as we said, most opinions say these things really took place before the giving of the Torah. So these are like all of the different, the sound effects, as we saw last week, the sight, all of the different dramatic things that took place as Hashem was actually saying the Aser, or just before Hashem said the Aser, said the Reis, and how, as he said them, and also how we receive them. So just to continue, because we were really in the middle of one concept. So you have in front of you two booklets. One booklet is the Chumash. We're going to come back to that. And the other one is this pages that we were in the middle of doing last week. And as we were discussing last week, that everything that took place at the giving of the Torah is not just a one-off time in history. It's something that we actually re-experience. And we're going to see today in many layers how we re-experience this and how we, not only do we have to, we can, and we will, after we understand, we will want to. Okay, so let's see how we sit. So last week we were looking at the Torah, and what the Torah was talking about was, that's on page one, we read most of it, and we said that he was talking about the fact that whenever we sit down to learn Torah nowadays, we always make sure, or we have to make sure, that we make a bracha before we learn. We mentioned that even though that might sound like nothing connected to the learning, but it's not just that it's a mitzvah to make a bracha before we learn Torah, but it actually accomplishes, and if you make the bracha, it accomplishes what the learning is supposed to accomplish. If you don't make the bracha, it actually detracts, and it's actually a very negative thing. And as the Torah said in such an extreme way, he was asking why they got all these terrible punishments, why the children didn't follow in their parents' footsteps, and why they even had to lose the land of Israel, was because they didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. And I was trying to understand what's the connection and what's so severe about not making the bracha before we learn Torah. So we said this last week, and we mentioned that the idea of making the bracha before we learn Torah is the concept of bringing the godliness into the learning of the Torah. That what we realize while we are learning is that we are literally becoming one with Hashem. This is not just an intellectual exercise, as well as not just an exercise to know how to behave. All those things are true, but those are only a minor part. Much more than that, the goal and what is accomplished by learning Torah is that we become one with Hashem. And this is, we said, where do we bring that out? And where is that emphasized? And how do we ensure that we are conscious of that if we make a bracha before we learn Torah? So that's what he was saying, how important it is. And then he continued and he said, what's the connection between the land of Israel? So he said, I think we read this part, I'm not sure if we got actually, but it said that if you don't bring the godliness into the learning, well, it's just a dry intellectual exercise, let's say, or it just is a mechanical exercise to tell you what to do and what not to do, you know, what's kosher, what's not kosher, how you keep Shabbat. I mean, it's all very important, but nevertheless, that doesn't necessarily connect you to Hashem. What ends up happening is that the soul is almost disappeared. And just like in a human being, if there's no soul, the person's not alive. That's the difference between a person who's alive and a person who's not alive. So too, in the land of Israel, the soul disappears. And when the soul disappears, the land, so to speak, loses its holiness, and Israel and holiness cannot be separate. The land of Israel and its holiness are one thing, like the neshama in the body. And therefore, when the neshama is gone, it's like the land almost it becomes destroyed, so to speak, in that sense, where it severs our connection. So this was how we explained that. So we said that, and then I think we concluded that page, I'm almost sure, but just to repeat one more important point, when we make the bracha for the Torah in the morning, if you look into the brachas, there's two brachas. We say one bracha, everybody has a different nusach, al divrei Torah or la seik b'divrei Torah, whatever it is. So that bracha is just to thank Hashem for giving us the Torah. The second bracha that we say, Asher Bachar Banu, that Hashem has chosen us, that we said was to thank Hashem and to re-experience the actual giving of the Torah, the story of Har Sinai. And that's what we're meant to do every single morning. Every morning in our mind, we should travel a little bit back to Har Sinai, as if we're standing before the mountain, and Hashem is literally giving us the Torah again. And this ensures that our learning of that day will be a new Torah, a Torah which is fresh, which is new, which is as godly as it was the first time. And this, and the, with the love and the excitement and the joy that we experienced at the giving of the Torah. So these are the two blessings to both aspects. Let's go to page number two now, because page number two, you'll see, this is what we call, we've done from him before. Here, no, there's one here. There is, I'm sorry, I only have one, I'm so weak. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you can take both, take both. Sorry, do you mind? I'm sorry. To share. Okay, so we have like this. On page two of this booklet, we have, we've done the Sivas Shalem, the Slonim Rebbe. Didn't live that long ago. And he explains it very, very beautifully also, just to give us more of a feeling, if you want to say, and more of an understanding of what this concept is of what happened at Har Sinai and how that's eternal for us. So he says like this. So he starts off, and we won't read the first part, but I'll just tell you that when the Jewish people came to Mount Sinai, one of the big things they wanted was to see godliness, right? They asked, can we see you, God? And they also asked, can we hear you? Now we know that no human being can see God. And when Moshe Rabbeinu asked that, Hashem said, no way, right? You can't. So what does it mean that they asked to see Hashem? And what were they granted? Because on some level, they were granted a certain vision of godliness that never took place again. So what is it that they saw? What is it that they heard? And how were they able to see and hear if a human being really can't see and hear Hashem? So let's see on page two, as he says. The ha'inyan, do you see on the top of the first column? So first we will explain the meaning of the two concepts. Shebakshu Yisrael, that the Jewish people asked. Bikshu Yisrael, that the Jewish people requested. Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem. What were the two things they requested? Sheyiru es kvaydai, that they should see his glory. V'yishmu es kailai, and hear his voice. What do they mean? What do they want? Demashma mikach shebikashtem, sorry, shebakashosam nismala, she'ein ze bevchinas gdoilois ata mevakesh. And it seems as if their request was fulfilled, and it doesn't come into the category of something too great you are asking for. Like you're asking for something which is beyond you. It seems that Hashem did grant this request. And what was it, and how did he grant it? He says, V'lama dafka oisam bakshu. And why did they specifically ask these two things? Mahu etzama inyan amyuchat shebeis dvarim elu. What actually is specific about these two things? Ela shebeis dvarim elu chashuvim etzel yehudi yoiser mikol hamadregis. These two things are more important to a Jew than any other level that they can reach. What is it? And he says beautifully, Shezai Tachlis, this is the ultimate She'ifas Chayav, the yearning of his life, Shel Yehudi, of a Jew, Lizakais, to merit, Lirais, to see, Es Kvaydai, the glory of Hashem, Ulishmaya Es Kailai, and to hear his voice. Ze Kol Chayusai. This is like the whole life force. Okay, what does it mean though? Do we see? Do we hear? So he says, Achin yesh b'ri'iyas kvaydai b'chinais u'madregas. But we know that in seeing the glory of Hashem, there are many different levels, right? There's different, if you want to say, different degrees. Yesh ri'iyah mamish, you can actually see kivyachol. Sha'aleha b'kesh Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom, hareini na es kvaydecha. Moshe asked that. He actually wanted to see godliness, whatever that means. Ach yesh gam lemata mizeh. But there's also lower than this. Al derech shekosov ha-raivid b'balei ha-nefesh. So the Raivid writes in his sefer in B'balei ha-nefesh, he writes, He's some lived a little bit after the time of the Rambam. Verishayin lechol haroshim, that the most important thing, kulam, like of everything, sheyeda ha'adam es yitzrei, that a person should know his creator, v'yakir es bayra, and recognize his creator. He should know who formed him and know, recognize his creator. V'im hu ne'elam me'enei kol chai, even though the truth is he is hidden from the eyes of all of us who are living, achu nimtza bilvavais, he's found in our hearts, v'nigle b'machshavais, and he's revealed in our minds. Physically, of course we can't see God physically. God is not a physical thing. Our eyes cannot see God, but we can see him on a different level. We can see him, feel him in our hearts, and see him in our minds. And that's also called seeing, when you really understand something so well, it's as if it's a reality to you, and you actually see him in your mind, as he says. Va'ata ben Adam, and he says, and you, son of man, ba'aznecha shma, with your ears hear, as einecha tipakach, and open your eyes. And what should you do? V'tira, and see, tmunas yetzrecha, the picture of the one who formed you, ha'oymed lefanecha negdecha, that is standing right before you. And he's right before you all the time. This is his language, and now he's going to elaborate. V'hainu, sheb'emes Hashem yisbarach sheichein b'leiv Yehudi, shehu chelek echad mimal. That the truth is that Hashem lives in the heart of every Jew, because we know that we have a part of Hashem within us. V'hu yisbarach nimtza bilvavais, he's found within our heart, v'nigle b'machshavais, and he's revealed in our mind. The only thing is, v'rak, kishetipakach es einei haseichel, you have to open your eyes of understanding, your eyes of your mind. V'oz tira es habayre yisbarach hanimtza imach, then you will see the Creator who is found with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roitzeh Lo Seis Tamid LiYehudi Madrega Zu. Hashem always wants to give us this level. Shel Hareinu Hashem Es Kvaydei, that we should be able to see His glory, the Es Godlei, and His greatness, Shehi Tachlis HaKol. But the only thing is, Ela Shehachi Sarenu, so where is the missing, where is the gap? Hu Mitzad HaMekabel. Sometimes the receiver, we're missing something. And what could we be missing? Let's see. As he says, She'enei Misugol LeKabel Madregazu. We're not really ready, we're not able, capable of receiving this level. She'kolz Man She'yesh LeAdam, that as long as a person has Ezehu Shaychus LeChomer, any connection to something physical, materialism. Then what happens? V'nimtza b'ayit chelek chumri, and what is found within him is this materialistic side. Ein yachol lirais pnei hashchina. Then you can't see godliness. Ach gam oz nimtza hu bilvavos. But what we have to remember, even if we don't see him, he is still there. He's still within us. He still finds himself inside of us. V'nigla b'machshavos, and he's still revealed in our mind. She'yehudi m'sugol lahargish es Hashem yisparech b'chol mehusay. A Jew is really capable of actually feeling Hashem with all of his being. U'bebehirus kol kach ki'ilu ra'ehu be'einav, and with a clarity as if he sees him with his eyes. Now this is very poetic and very nice, but what does it mean? What does it mean that we see godliness? So he's going to translate it a little bit more. Let's see a little more. He says, Amnam bekabalas ha-Torah. But what happened actually at the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai? Zu ha-pam ha-yechida. That's the only time, shekosuv b'Torah, that it actually is written in the Torah, Lashon Zeh, this language. So it's actually written, shel har'enu Hashem elikecha es kvaydei, that Hashem has shown us His honor, His glory. That's where we did see. At Matan Torah, we were shown something that we had never seen before, and truthfully, we never saw afterwards. Okay, in a minute we'll see. She'az b'kushi, sorry, she'az b'kshu madregas niskavazel, then we asked for these great levels, she'zek ha'amr tachlas hashiva, because this is the yearning, shel Yehudi, to see, of a Jew, to see the glory of Hashem and to hear His voice. Why was it at Matan Torah that they were able to see and hear? because then we were, and we mentioned this last week, because then we were elevated to the level of angels. Then Hashem did remove a lot of our physical self, to the point, what's interesting is that it actually had a physical effect. Remember we said everybody became healed. It's interesting how both things happened at the same time, because we became complete. There was no, so to speak, it wasn't like a typical human who has defects. We became absolutely complete in every way, which also affected us physically. But spiritually, we were on the level of angels. And therefore, we were able to literally see godliness and hear Hashem. But that was temporary. What does that have to do with me today? Today I'm a person living in my body, very physical, very in touch with the material world. That's the reality for me. So what does this mean for me? So let's go to the second column where it's underlined. And let's see. He says, HaTayra HaKadosha Hi Nitzchis. The Torah is eternal. U'kamay kein kolin yanei kabbalah satayra Hei Nitzchiyim. And so too, all of the things that happened at Har Sinai are also on a certain level eternal. So let's see. V'imukubal she'etzel habal shemtiv, and we know, he says, it's something which we accept, and it's a tradition that what used to happen by the Baal Shem Tov, that kaidem shalamad Torah im talmidav, before he used to sit and learn Torah with his students, hayurayim es hakaylais ve'es habrokim shekadmu lematn Torah. Well, they had an amazing experience because they were with the Baal Shem Tov. So they were able to see the lightning, hear the thunder, see all of the different effects that happened at Matan Torah. That's actually what happened to the students learning with the Baal Shem Tov. Well, that's very nice, but we're not here with the Baal Shem Tov. So that's fantastic. But again, how does it have to do with us? But you can see that it was a reality that did take place afterwards, because tzaddikim, and we'll see it soon a little bit more, so I won't talk too much about it, are not so, they're not at all actually blocked by their bodies. Their bodies are not a blockage to their seeing of godliness because they refine their bodies so much. Even the voices, even the thunders, the lightnings, all the things. That what was their purpose? Their purpose was really in order to refine all of the materialism. In other words, to instill fear in us. And that we should know that there's one God. Kaidem shemekablam Torah, before we receive the Torah, heim nitzchiim, they are eternal. Harei kemaiken kol inyonei kabbalas ha-Torah, nitzchiim, everything of the receiving of the Torah is eternal. V'gam ha-madregis shalirais es kvaidai v'lishmaya kailai es kailai ha-nitzchiim. So to the seeing and the hearing are also eternal. And what do we say? Let's look at the underlined. Ach yesh me ein b'china zu, shenimtza bilvavais, v'nigle b'machshavais, hashayeches l'chol Yehudi. So there is a little bit of this that can be found in the heart and revealed in the mind that is connected to every single Jew, l'fi madregasei, according to his level. U'kimay shekosav ha-arachayim, like the Arachayim writes, shelefi hachanaslay, according to how much you prepare yourself, shemeichin atzmai, that you prepare yourself, lirais, to see you lekabel pnei Hashchina, and to receive the glory of Hashem, the revelation of Hashem, kach zeiche lekabel es hakdusha, as much as you prepare yourself, that's how much you will merit to actually see or hear. It's a mindset. We said in the Torah, you have to make the bracha. The bracha is not just saying it with your mouth. It's that realization that you are about to embark upon something, and we'll see, I'll show you in the Tanya, it says it really beautifully, which is the most incredible gift. And you can, if you choose to, if you prepare yourself properly, literally while you are learning Torah, have an incredible experience of literally seeing and hearing Hashem. Okay, we don't see, I mean, we don't, but on a certain level, we feel a very deep connection to Hashem. Sometimes the way we know that is afterwards. Sometimes we might not realize it as we are learning, but if when we go away from the learning, we feel different than before we learned, we know something happened. And usually, I mean, if a person just put their mind to it just a little bit before, and during, obviously, a little bit, that this is Hashem's Torah, and what a gift it is that we are able to learn it, you walk away with such an inspiration that your day is different. There's no question that everything that you encounter that day will look and feel differently. You do, your perspective, your focus, everything changes. And your ability to take everything that happens that day changes. So this is a very, very, very special thing. Okay. Ooh, I feel so bad. Oh, my gosh. Every week, Esther? That's good. That's good. Oh, what are you going to... Is this... Oh, thank you. Beautiful. I'm so sorry. Hello, hello.
What are you sorry, Charles?
No. Good to see. Sure, sure. Yes, so you know what, Melanie? Keep it. Please ask me again soon because I'm going to read you. No, please don't forget. It's an important question. And I just want to show you a few other things that maybe it'll answer. We'll see. Okay, so just to quickly continue, and we say, so on the bottom now, you see I underlined on the bottom part. And as he says, what's the idea of seeing and hearing? So he says, let me just see where he says. That's right. So what's the idea? The idea is to hear the voice of Hashem. Let's see. So we can see godliness and we can hear the voice. So what's the voice? So he said, so with the seeing of godliness, he explained more was the understanding in our mind. Sometimes when we understand something really well, it becomes a reality. And the truth is, a lot of times understanding is a deeper reality, right? When you really understand, sometimes when you hear something so clearly, it's like you picture it and becomes like this picture in front of your eyes, right? And somebody really describes something really, really well, and you really absorb it, and it becomes the reality. What's the voice that we hear, though? So let's see what he says. Koil Hashem, the voice of Hashem, Hamidaber Tomid, that is always speaking, Mitoich Kol Hamurais, from within all of your experiences. Bechol Hamurais, Hein Haklolim, Vehem Hamurais Hapratim, Ha'ovrim Al Kol Echad, Mistater Kol Hashem. Every experience, whether they just be the general experiences or the specific personal experience that a person has, that every person experiences, in them is hidden the voice of Hashem. And what is he saying? And he says, "Gam im ein ze biskali," even if it's not revealed, "Harei ze biskasya," it's there hiddenly. But what happens? How come we don't sound? Doesn't I don't know? I don't hear voices all day. So he says, "Va'al Yehudi lahakshiv," but it's up to us to listen, "Lakol Hashem," to the voice of Hashem, "Hakayre mitoicham," that is calling from within them. "Hein mu'urais shel chesed v'rachamim," whether they be experiences of kindness and mercy, shemitoichem roya Yehudi aleikus, that within them Hashem, a person sees godliness, right? You see the hand of Hashem, like something worked out well. You didn't think it would work out that way, and you see how Hashem orchestrated everything, and it just somehow came right, and you say, wow, that's the hand of Hashem. That's the voice of Hashem that you hear within the experiences. You can choose not to hear it. We know that. We can all choose. We can say it was chance. We can just be so oblivious. We can just be so self-absorbed and we don't hear anything. Or we can choose to hear it. We can literally choose to hear the voice of Hashem saying, it all works out. It's all okay. I'm here. Or whichever way it's supposed to work out, it's going to work out. Whatever it is, we don't know. And there's a purpose. Sometimes, hopefully, all the time, in the good. But sometimes he says, "V'hein mu'urais shein b'vchinas ve'eskayle shamanu mitaycha esh." Do you remember at Har Sinai there was also a fire? There was a fear that the Jewish people had, and sometimes the voice of Hashem comes through a fire, which can be things that are actually quite scary, things that perhaps jolt us a little bit, as he says. Kabbalah Satayra on page 3. Shomu Yisrael es kol Hashem mitoich yira, right? They heard the voice of Hashem from fear, as we say, from awe. As it says, Vayecharat kol ha'am asher b'machaneh, that the whole nation trembled. V'amar Chazal, Sha'atayra nitna, that we know what the Chazal say, the Torah was given, be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'be'zeya. With fear, and with awe, and with trembling, and with sweat. So in truth, that's really how we're meant to learn Torah all the time. But in truth, what he's saying over here is that this voice of Hashem sometimes comes in that way also. Sometimes certain experiences that are quite frightening, or we feel the tremendous hand of Hashem, the strength of Hashem. So we shouldn't feel frightened in the sense of being alone. We should be filled with awe that Hashem is the one who is in control. And for some reason he's choosing this way to talk to us, whichever way it is, but the voice comes through. So too in our lives, we have the voice of Hashem coming like through the fire. Mitachira, from fear. So in all of these experiences, a Jew has to listen l'kol Hashem, to the voice Hashem, ha'kayre mitaycham, that's calling from within them. And it says, like this very interesting thing, it says, v'nichpal ha'loshen, and the language is actually doubled, shamaya tishmu, right? We have to listen, which means listen well. Lirmais shalishmaya es kol Hashem. It hints to us that in order to hear the voice of Hashem, tzorech lahakshiv hativ, you have to listen well. Okay, it's quite a low voice sometimes. It's quite subtle. The frequency, sometimes we don't think we can hear that, you know, what do you call that? That type of frequency, sometimes we think. But if we listen really carefully, we will. As he says, ulhisbainin, and to actually contemplate the amkus, the pnimius hamurais, in the depth, in the inner of the experience, kedei lishmaya mitaycham es kol Hashem, in order to actually hear the voice of Hashem. Sometimes we have to think about what we've experienced in order to hear Hashem, v'lirais bahem, and to see elekusa yisbarich, the godliness in them. And this is the mitzvah of va'ata im shamaya tishmu b'koli, that now you will truly, really listen to my voice. And this is an eternal voice that we all, if we want to, choose to, can hear every day. That's why it is a very interesting thing in Pirkei Avos. It says that there's a voice that comes out, you know, baskol, a voice from heaven that comes out every day. There's a few different voices. And the big question is, but we don't hear it. What's the point? So many explanations are given, and the Baal Shem Tov explains that the truth is, and the Arizal, the truth is we think we don't hear it, but we really do hear it. Inside, deep inside. And that's why sometimes, in the middle of nowhere, as we know, we can be going around on our normal day-to-day living. Sometimes we're lucky. And all of a sudden we get this burst of inspiration. We don't know where it came from. We feel something good, something closer to Hashem, something, an urge to do something good. We don't know why. All of a sudden it came. It came because we heard that voice. That's lucky, because we didn't prepare ourselves. Here he's saying something else, though, that really, that's not really the ideal. The ideal is that throughout the day, we should be actually concentrating to try and hear what Hashem is telling us through everything that we experience, because that is the voice of Hashem. It comes through our experiences. And then, just the last paragraph, which I've underlined, the Alpi Ha'amor, so according to what we've said, Shekol in Yonei Kabbalah Satayim Nitzchim, that everything that happened at the giving of the Torah is eternal. Harei Kol Shekein V'Kal V'Chaymer, then how much more so, Shediber Hashem, that the words of Hashem, of Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha, who Nitzchi, is definitely eternal, right? The first of the Aseres HaDibreis. Because we know what it says in Tehillim, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, that forever, Hashem, your words are standing in the heavens, Udvar Hashem, as V'dibra Hashem, Anoichi Hashem Alikecha, Midaber El Yehudi, that one of the Ten Commandments, that I am Hashem, your God, is actually speaking to the Jew, B'chol Yoyim, every day, U'b'chol Eis, and at all times, U'b'chol Shah, at every hour, mitoich kol ha'mu'rais, from within every experience. V'tafkidei shol Yehudi, what's the role of a Jew? Hushmaya tishmu b'koli shish. We should listen. We should hear the voice. L'hatais aznav u'lefkayach eseinav. Right? So you actually have to lend your ears. You have to open your eyes. Sh'az yiske lirais es kvaydei ves gadlai v'lishmaya es kaylei yisberach. Then we will merit to see the glory and to hear the voice of Hashem. So it's a very beautiful, quite a poetic way of saying it. I want to just give you something, a little bit more, just ask for forgiveness, because we learned, this is the Tanya that we learned, but I hope you don't mind, because it's just too beautiful not to do. So, okay, we'll pass it around. I'll just take these for those ladies, 1 second.
You know, how do you picture Hashem in our mind?
Okay, so that's a good question. I don't think it's really supposed to be a real picture.
Yeah.
This is more the greatness of Hashem. That's right. That's right.
Through it can be through nature.
Yes. Yes. Everything.
Okay. So now what you have in front of you now is, see, as you can see, it's a page, it's just a little part of Tanya. Talk about Hashgacha Pratis, because we were in the Shir on Tuesday nights and it was just up to that. I said, wow, look at that. Well, just what we're learning on Monday, no connection, but it's connected. Everything is connected. Talk about the hands of Hashem, always, as you say. You read a book and there it is. It's incredible. Okay. So I just want to show you something, a little bit of an insight. We're not going to be able to do justice. Sorry, any? Okay.
It's just that voice that you're talking about. Every woman has a secret sense. You know things sometimes. You go against it. I know from experience. It's
pretty
troubling.
That sometimes it is. You're right. You're right. They say sometimes, I know there's a beautiful Hasidic story about a person saying, how do you know which one is the right voice to listen to? Is it like the first one or is it the one that comes afterwards? And I think there's this famous story about somebody who the first voice says to give the money to tzedakah. The second says, but you need it for this, you need it for that, for the grandchildren. And you know, so then you say, just do what you thought first and don't think too much about it. But there's a whole discussion. Yes, it's interesting. Yeah. Okay. So as I say, I'm not going to do justice, but we just have to see a little bit. So I want to show you. This is chapter 34. We're plunking in the middle of nowhere from Tanya. Obviously, it's a continuation from before, but we'll just see a little bit of an insight to understand what happens and how we can also get a little bit of what happened at Matan Torah. Okay, the gift. Let's see. Okay, so I just want to show you as he starts. This is, as we say, a continuation. We're talking about how a person connects to Hashem and how in the Tanya, he discusses many things, but before this, he discusses the idea of a person contemplating very, very deeply the oneness of Hashem and how there's nothing besides Hashem, how the whole world is nullified to God. And if you do that, obviously you will be connected to Hashem, right? There will be nothing existing besides the oneness of Hashem. But we all know that contemplating such deep philosophical ideas is not easy. And for most of us, even though we all have to attempt, for most of us it might not affect us constantly, or it will be difficult. So we have to find other ways. Let's see what we say. So we say, Vihine, you see on page one, I'll just read you from here, and then there's another part that we'll see a little bit deeper. Vihine muda zayis sha'avais hein hein ha'merkava. We know, famous concept that's explained in Chassidus, but in other places as well. Is that right? Yeah, over here. Right? Is that right? That the avais, which means our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are referred to as the divine chariot. What's a chariot? A chariot is nullified to the driver. So the driver tells the chariot where to go. The chariot has no mind of its own, has no will of its own. So too, the forefathers were so nullified to God. They were like a chariot to God. God was their driver, and all they did, they were so in tune with Hashem's will that every single thing they did was as if Hashem was driving them directly, right? That's how connected and nullified they were. Shekol yimeyem la'olam lo yifsiku, that throughout their lives, they didn't even stop, afilu shah achas, even for 1 hour, milakasher daitam, from connecting their knowledge, their thoughts, their understanding, v'nishmasam, and their soul, l'ribayin ha'olamim, to the master of the universe. Bebitul hanal l'yichud ha'yisparach, with the, as he explained before, the absolute surrender to his unity. That's all very nice, but that's the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, but I'm just a simple person, and I have a lot of desires of my own, and I have a lot of wants, and I don't feel Hashem in such a real way, right? So how does that apply to me? So he says, V'achareyim, we know it wasn't only the forefathers, V'achareyim kol ha'neviim, all the prophets, kol echad lefi madregas nishmasai v'hasagasai, each one in accordance to the level of their neshama, and according to the level of their understanding. The greater their neshama was, the deeper their understanding and grasp of godliness, the more connected, the less they felt their self, sense of self, the more surrendered they were to Hashem, and the more of a vehicle they were for Hashem's will in this world. Even in the prophets, there were levels. And we know who was the highest prophet of all, Umadregas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, the level of Moshe, who ha'ayla al kulana, he is the one that was the highest of all of them. Sha'amru Olav, we know what it says, Shechina midaberes mitoich groinai shel Moshe. That actually the voice of Hashem spoke from within the throat of Moshe. What does that mean? That means that Moshe Rabbeinu's throat wasn't like our throat that said what we wanted to say. It was totally nullified to Hashem. It was an instrument of God, not just his throat, but every aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's being. He was the ultimate level of submission, if you want to say, surrender, nullification, bittul to godliness. And that's why we even say about Moshe, he was like a half man, half angel almost. Moshe's really on a different level, and that's why he's the one that goes up to Shemayim and able to receive the Torah. Let's see on page, we can go still page 443, so it's the second column. Whatever, it's the other way. But now, I just want to show you something. Now we have a very nice, very beautiful, but what does it have to do with me? So it's still on page 1. Do you know, Rona, still on page 1. I know it goes, it's a bit funny, but you see it says 443 yet there. So a person can become a little bit discouraged because we could say, I'll never be Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's true. I'll never be Avraham, and I'll never be Yitzchak, and I'll never even be any of the prophets, and I'll never even be any of the great tzaddikim that we know. I'm just a simple person. So how am I able to fulfill what Hashem wants in this world, to have a dwelling place in this world, and to bring godliness in this world, and that we should be able to nullify ourselves at least a little bit? So here we continue and we say that even me and you experience something like Moshe Rabbeinu once in our time. When was that? Umayein zeh zochu Yisrael b'maymid har Sinai. When we stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, every Jew, and we know all of our neshamas were there, experienced something like what Moshe experienced his whole life. This self-nullification that literally there was nothing except for godliness, no reality. Everything was godliness. That's what they saw, that's what they heard. In other words, the world ceased to exist as we see it. There was nothing hiding Hashem. It was obvious that everything is Hashem. So like all the curtains were removed, right? That's what we say. Very nice. But what happened at Matan Torah to all of us? Rak shelo yochlu lispal, but we couldn't endure it. You know what happened? As soon as Hashem opened up his mouth and said, Anoichi Hashem aleikecha, and we heard his voice, what do we say? Our neshamas left our body. It was amazing. What an experience. It was like what Moshe had, but we weren't Moshe. And our body couldn't contain it. It's like the voltage, you know, it's too high. So the whole thing explodes. If you put too much electricity and it doesn't have the right capability, it can't hold it. We are not capable of holding such godliness. Us simple people, our bodies do block, that's a fact. We are not ready. We'll never be capable because the level of our neshama, it's just a different level. So this still doesn't really encourage us so much. But let's see what it says. I'll call Dibur Parcha Nishmas. And every single time Hashem spoke, the neshama went up. Shu inyin bitul b'mitzias. It's, as we say, literally the self-nullification. So therefore, because we couldn't contain it, Hashem did give us a gift. And he said, don't feel bad. Don't feel discouraged. It's true that I will not be able to continuously speak to you because otherwise you won't stay alive, but I will give you something. And what did Hashem give us? And this happens soon after the giving of the Torah. Lochein miyad amar lahem. So therefore, immediately said to them, Vaseis lai mishkan, to make a mishkan, a dwelling place. Uboi katshe hakadoshim. We know what's in the mishkan, the holy of holies. Lahashra shchinasai, for the dwelling of his shchina. Shehu gilu yichuda yisbarich. What happens in the kodesh hakadoshim? We have the revelation of the oneness of God, as will be explained further. So in the mishkan, everybody was able, on a certain level, obviously most of us didn't get to see the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we saw a little bit of a diluted version, but we knew it was there. There was a revelation of godliness like nowhere else, no blockages, like in the rest of the world. Hashem is everywhere. But there it was without any curtains. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, especially in the Holy of Holies, where there was space and no space, you saw God, you know, this, that was real godliness who broke through nature, and yet nature still existed. Something which we can't get our head around. But that still doesn't help us so much. We don't have a Mishkan. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. So let's see, look on page 2. U'mishacharav Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein l'hakadosh baruch hu ba'olam al mishkan u'machan l'shiftai. There is no place for Hashem to dwell, except for, we'll see, hu yichudei yisbarach, the oneness of God, so to speak. That one God, where does he dwell? Where is he revealed? Ela arba amos shel halacha. In what we call the four amos of halacha, which means the four cubits of halacha, Torah study. This is an amazing thing. We have such a gift. We have been given Torah, and on whichever level you learn, doesn't make a difference how basic it is. When you learn Torah, and if you're aware of it, it's even more special, you are actually getting a revelation of Hashem. The same revelation, I want to show you in a minute, as in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Let's see what he says. Shehu Ritzaynai, because why? What's the Torah? The Torah is the will of Hashem and the wisdom of Hashem. The will of Hashem, how? Because if Hashem says, I want you to, I don't know, to make Kiddush on Friday night, that's the will of Hashem. He doesn't want Kiddush on Tuesday night, he wants Kiddush on Friday night. So you make Kiddush on Friday night, you're doing the will of Hashem. And when you learn about it, you are literally grasping and internalizing the will of Hashem. And we know that all the different logic and all the different understanding of the Torah is the wisdom of Hashem. So when you learn Torah, you literally are taking the will and the wisdom of Hashem, hamilubashim b'halachos ha'aruchos lefaneinu, which are enclosed in the halachos which have been set out before us. And that's why the lachin, achar sheyamik ha'adam achshavta, after a person deeply thinks, be'inyin bitul hanal kefi yicholtai, so this is all the different things the Alter Rebbe spoke before, about how Hashem is one and how there really is no world besides Hashem. This is what he should tell himself. Zois yoshev alibay. He should say, ki mihiyais katan sichli, since I am a small mind, v'shoyresh nishmasi, and the source of my soul, mehakil liyais merkavo, mishkan liyichudei yizbarach be'emes lamitai. Since I am not very great, as we know, the capacity of my intelligence and the source of my soul is not like the avos, right? I'm not such an amazing person in that way. So I'm very limited. How will I be able to be connected to Hashem? How will I reveal Hashem in this world, so to speak? And how will I make a dwelling place for Hashem? May achar delays machshava delay tfisa umaseges b'yisparach klal, klal v'klal, shum hasaga ba'ilam. Because my thoughts cannot grasp or apprehend his unity at all with any degree of comprehension in the world. Like we could learn about how Hashem is one and nothing exists besides Hashem, but a lot of times it's just words. Because the reality is the table is here. I see a table. For me, my life is real. It is real. It's true. And Hashem, well, we know he's there. But that's a little bit more distant because we're just simple people. So we say, and obviously it's like not even a drop of how the forefathers and how the prophets, how they were able to grasp and really live the oneness of Hashem. So what should we do? So because that's the case, I will make him a sanctuary. How? Hu ha'esek b'talmud Torah, by learning Torah, kefi ha'pnai, according to how much time I have, sheli b'kfias itim b'yayim u'balayla, by setting aside time by day and by night. So you set aside, and as the Alter Rebbe says, he's very, very realistic. We can't sit and, well, it sounds like, okay, so we can sit and learn Torah, but we're not going to sit and learn Torah all day. We have a life to live, so that's okay. So then we'll think, well, then that means that we're only going to be one with Hashem while we are learning Torah, which to a certain extent is true. But the Alter Rebbe extends it, and he says something very beautiful, that if a person is honest, we're talking about being honest, and they really set aside time that they have, that they're capable of, to learn. Every person knows their life and knows their abilities, knows their circumstances. Some people have less time, some people have more time, some people are more financially able, some people for other commitments are unable. But as long as you're honest and you do set aside time that you can have to learn Torah to the best of your ability, then obviously while you're learning, you're one with Hashem. But it's not only while you're learning. It's even when you're not learning. Hashem literally remains within you and part of you, and you are connected the entire day and the entire night. There's a little bit of a condition, and that is that while you're learning only certain times, the rest of the day, sometimes you give a thought and say, I wish I could be learning now. What could I do? I have to do this and this. No choice. I have to go shopping. I have no choice. I have to cook. No choice. What could I do? I have to do all these things. I have to work. But really, what would I love to do? I wish I could learn Torah. What can I do? I can't. If that's where your yearning is, then even when you're not actually learning, Hashem considers it as if you are learning, and you are literally one with Hashem. And I want to just show you one beautiful line before the time is up. Go to page number 4, I think it is in your thing, right? Do I have it? All right, of course. Where is it? I want to show you something. I know we're going to for 3. I'll show you something on page 4. Look on the bottom star of page 4. I just want to show you how it says it beautifully. And also we say because Hashem's Torah is... Hashem is revealed in his Torah, right? It's Hashem's wisdom, it's Hashem's will, undiluted. And it's not in accordance to us. It's not how much we understand how one Hashem is. It's literally Hashem's wisdom and Hashem's will. But if you look on page 4 on the bottom star, the last one, it has a little bit of a bracket. Just to show you how he says it so beautifully. Nimtza. So what do we find? Sha'al yedei limud ha-Torah, that through learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza u'meyir b'sichlei, Hashem is found and is lit up in your mind, in his mind, in his intellect, shel ha'adam, of the person, b'li levushim v'hesterim klal, without any clothing, without any blockages. It's literally the essence of Hashem that's there. Mamish k'may hashra'as hashchina b'kodesh hakadoshim. Exactly the same level as the resting of the Shechina in the Holy of Holies, which is actually the most amazing, beautiful gift. And that's why what the Alter Rebbe says is not only is it such a privilege for us to be able to, however much time we can set aside to learn, and we make a bracha, which means we think before that we are about to encounter, that we are absorbing the godliness himself without any blockages. But even deeper than that, it will fill us with the most incredible joy. It will send us to such an elation that we have such a privilege. We are so privileged that in such an easy way, we are able to become a dwelling place for Hashem and fulfill what Hashem wants, what he created the world for, just by learning a little bit of Torah. That's all it is. On whichever level we are capable and with whichever time we have. So this is, first of all, such an amazing privilege, and when we realize, and then also it definitely changes everything about our whole life, but also what an incredible joy. What an incredible joy in anticipation, and of course afterwards, that we had the privilege to be able to do that. And this is the gift of the Torah that Hashem has given us. That's what happened at Matan Torah, and that's what we re-experience every time we learn. In this chapter, we're not going to go, this is its own separate learning. The Alter Rebbe does continue, as we learned on Tuesday. I just want to share with you something small, nothing to do with learning. Learning is the most very, that's what we're learning about today. There's also something else that we can do, and that's giving tzedakah. And the Alter Rebbe says that by giving tzedakah, you are also achieving that connection, because tzedakah you give from the money that you've worked, put your, you know, all your effort into, your, you know, your sweat and your blood right into earning that money. And now what do you do with it? You set it aside, and instead of using it for yourself, you give it to somebody else. So that's also another way. Learning and tzedakah, both important things to do in order, as we say, have that real connection to Hashem. So we are so lucky, we're so privileged that we are able to do that. And as I say, nowadays, as we get, really, as we get close, there's lots of things that are wrong in the world, but some things are magnificent. The fact is, you can click on your phone, and in 1 minute, you can be inspired, literally, by some form of learning that has never been before. So this is a tremendous privilege that we have, that really, obviously, it's there so that we can fit it into any time during the day, even if it's only for 1 minute. Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and in Ritz Hashem, next week we will finish the parsha.